Afternoon. The Early Learning and Elementary Education Subcommittee will now come to order. Members, for the record, please turn on your microphones for the roll call. Kristen, please call the roll.
Chair Lubas.
Here.
Vice Chair Fetterhoff.
Here.
Ranking Member Davis.
Here.
Representative Cheney.
Here.
Representative Hawkins.
Here.
Representative Hunchofsky.
Here.
Representative Koster.
Here.
Representative Lamarca.
Here.
Representative Learned.
Here.
Representative McCurdy. Representative McFarland. Representative Mooney.
Here.
Representative Nixon.
Here.
Representative Roach.
Here.
Representative Rodriguez.
Present.
Representative Trabulsi.
Here.
Representative Trunow.
Here.
Representative Williams.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Kirsten. Let the record show that a quorum is present. Members, as always, please be sure to silence all electronic devices. Be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee or the presenters. Push the microphone button after you've been recognized, as the green light on your microphone no longer represents a live mic. And please continue to wear your mask to protect one another and the members in the audience. Members, today we have one bill and one proposed committee bill on the agenda. So we are going to begin with HB 575, the Gold Seal Quality Care Program, by Representative Onfroy. Representative Onfroy, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you so very much, Chair Lubas and members. Thank you, Chair Lubas, for hearing this very important legislation. Vice Chair Fetterhoff, Ranking Member Davis, and members of the Early Learning and Elementary Education Subcommittee, thank you for the opportunity for me to present HB 575, the Gold Seal Quality Care Program. This bill deals exclusively with accountability for Gold Seal accreditation for child centers. The state provides significant financial benefits if a center is certified Gold Seal. 20% increase in reimbursement rates for schools, school readiness. They don't pay property taxes if the property owner owns the school building or owns the property. Members, Representative Grawl's bill you heard last week covers Gold Seal, but it's a much broader scope. This bill deals exclusively with accountability for Gold Seal accreditation for child centers. Two key changes that are the same with Representative Grawl's bill is, this bill transfers the Gold Seal process to the Office of Early Learning from the Department of Children and Family, which is the same as Representative Grawl's bill. It establishes an auditing process that will allow for local early learning coalitions to have oversight. The two differences are addressing who can become and maintain their ability to accredit under the Gold Seal label. We change the word association to entity, as association is not defined and the entity is the one that applies. It must be established and registered in Florida. The entity can be a nonprofit or for-profit. Current law requires that you must be recognized an accrediting center for 5 years. It is unclear who has to recognize the entity. We changed the language to require that the entity must demonstrate that it has the staff that is experienced in accrediting centers in Florida. We must make sure that these accrediting bodies maintain qualified personnel. You can have a body that accredits and the people that are there don't actually have the qualifications to accredit. Is it the entity, or should the people that are on staff have the tools necessary to do the accrediting? And that's what I'm trying to address. The last change gives OEL the ability to not renew an accrediting body if it has less than 10 centers accredited on its 5-year renewal date. The reason for this is, how can a body really invest in accrediting if it doesn't have enough schools that it accredits? If you are an out-of-state agency, an out-of-state accrediting body, and you have 5 schools that you accredit in the state of Florida, it's not very likely that you're going to have somebody on site in the state of Florida taking the time to look at these schools to ensure that they are accredited correctly. And that's the reason for that. We want accrediting bodies that are committed and have the resources and experience in Florida to hold their child care centers to their accrediting standards. This legislation brings accountability to a system that has none. It places experience over arbitrary criteria, allowing qualified entities to become an accrediting agency, while implementing strong oversight to make sure that they are performing consistently with their application to the state. The application process is arduous and detailed, as is the process to become an accredited Gold Seal child care center. Without strong accountability, it is meaningless. And that is my information on the bill, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Onfroy, for that explanation. Members, are there questions of the bill sponsor? Questions of the bill sponsor? Yes, Representative Cheney, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Onfroy, what do you see is the main benefit to parents whose children are in this system?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Rep. Cheney, when I look at this, we have, I'm not a parent, but I have three nieces. And I have family members who have had to go through this process. They see this gold seal and they believe that this is the best place for their child to go. You know, when the state accredits these bodies to accredit our schools, we're hoping that these schools will then make sure that our students are prepared to enter into our K-12 system, whether it's private or public. We want our students to be able to navigate through life with a right start, and that's why we invest the resources that we do. I hope I answered your question.
Members, additional questions? Ranking Member Davis.
Thank you, Rep. Onfroy, for this, and thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. Rep. Onfroy, is there a cost for this accrediting entity that we're now talking about?
You recognize.
I believe the accrediting entities do charge for accreditation, but it's not a charge that I don't know what the rate is for charging for accreditation, but I know they charge.
Follow up. You recognize.
So I'm trying to, and you explained it in your explanation, so I guess my question with that, who is actually, we're going from association to accrediting entity. Who is actually the entity? Maybe that's where
the person applying. Right now in the statute, it says association, but an association doesn't actually apply. It's the entity that applies for the accreditation. It's not an association. It's the company that's applying, whether it's a nonprofit or a for-profit.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Ranking Member.
Representative Nixon, recognized for a question.
I'm sorry, I just had a question. You said, could you clarify and go back? You said something about the accreditation companies not being able to, you said something about with the 10 centers, having less than 10 centers. Can you explain that a little bit more?
You're recognized.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Representative Nixon, what we've noticed is that some of the accreditation centers are out-of-state accreditation centers, and they have, like, nobody that they've accredited in the state of Florida. So how can they, if they do accredit, let's say, five companies, financially, can they afford to have a person that lives in this state to make sure that those five schools that they've accredited actually are doing what they've accredited them for? And that's the issue. If you only have 10 and you're an out-of-state body or you're an in-state body, do you really have the resources to have staff to go and look at everything that's taken place? And so if in 5 years you only have 10 and under, or under 10, I don't know how much skin you have in the game. That's the reason, Rep. Nixon. Thank you, Chair. Okay.
Members, any further questions? Okay, seeing none, there are no amendments. Is there public testimony? We have one, Danny McMillan from the Florida PTA.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. I am Danny McMillan with Florida PTA. I am a parent and a grandparent. So understanding the importance of having a center or facility that is accredited, that provides the right service for our children, is very key. The Florida PTA urges the legislature to ensure that early child care and educational programs are safe, nurturing, and developmentally appropriate by establishing licensing requirements based on statewide standards that reflect current research. These programs should be affordable, available, and accessible with assistance for parents with inadequate income. National PTA, especially, recognizes the special needs of underserved populations, including children with disabilities, limited English proficient children, homeless children, migrant children, gifted and talented children, and undocumented children in our nation's schools. To develop a stronger and more accountable system of education, early child care, education programs, and schools, of course, must place priority on student performance and achievement. Schools must focus on what children know and are able to do and be held accountable for ensuring that all children succeed. So there has to be some oversight over what is going on in that building with our children. This is a good bill. Thank you, Representative, for messing up your name. I'm sorry, I apologize. And thank you for working to ensure that all children will get the right start with the Gold Seal Quality Care Program. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us, Mrs. McMillan. Members, that concludes public testimony. Is there debate on the bill? All right, seeing none, would you like to, ranking member, you recognize?
Thank you, Chair, I appreciate that. I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate Rep. Onfroy going into this single-focused idea with trying to get our providers up to a gold seal quality type care program. I definitely appreciate this. The challenges, and it's not with this bill. I feel like as we're raising our providers in these care programs, we have to keep in mind that we are providing the 20% differential pay, but it's some type of enforcement that we need to be doing to ensure that these providers are paying their staffs. And that's, I think, at the end of the day, that's the challenge for me. So I am loving what you're doing here and trying to ensure that we have providers that are trained and skilled and accredited, but we also need to take another dive into making sure these accredited facilities have staffs that are incentivized and encouraged and held up to do the job that we're asking them to do. So thank you again, Rep. Onfroy, for this. I appreciate this, but we still have work to do.
Thank you, Representative. Any further debate, members? Representative Williams, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Onfroy, I appreciate you bringing forth this great bill. Accountability is very important. We had a brief conversation about an amendment, and I would love to continue that conversation along with you and the chair of the committee. I like what I see and like what I hear, but I think we have additional work to make sure that this is better for those that we're trying to protect. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Okay, members, seeing no further debate, Representative Onfroy, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I thank you all for taking the time to consider the bill that I presented today. I appreciate all the conversations that I was able to have. I thank you, Ranking Democrat, Ranking Member Davis, and Representative Williams. I agree with everyone who's made comments about how we need to hold these standards up and to also make sure that the people who are working in these facilities get a raise up also, because they're taking care of our most precious assets, our children. Thank you very much, Chair. I close.
Representative Onfroy, having closed on her bill, Kirsten, please call the roll.
Representatives Cheney.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
Fetterhoff.
Yes.
Thank you. Hawkins.
Yes.
Hanshofsky.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Thank you.
LaMarca.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
Thank you. McCurdy.
Yes.
Thank you.
McFarland.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mooney.
Yes.
Thank you.
Nixon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Roach.
Yes.
Thank you.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Thank you.
Trabulsi.
Yes.
Thank you.
Trunow.
Yes.
Thank you.
Williams.
Yes.
Chair Lupus.
Yes.
Thank you.
ATDA, zero nays, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, members.
Members, by your vote, HB 575 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Onfroy. All right, members, we are moving to our second bill on the agenda. This is PCB ELE 21-02, Closing the Achievement Gap for Boys, by our very own Representative Coster. Representative Coster will be presenting from her desk.
Thank you, Chair. Members, on Tuesday, we heard some sobering facts from the Pinellas Education Foundation's presentation that our boys outnumber girls in remedial math and English classes, and for every girl who's retained in a grade, two boys are retained. Boys receive 70% of D's and F's on report cards, and nearly 74% of children diagnosed with learning disabilities are boys. In addition, boys are suspended and expelled from school more than twice as often as girls. Florida assessment data shows that 44% of third grade boys are reading below grade level, a key indicator for failing to graduate from high school. And while boys are behind girls by 4 percentage points on the third grade English language arts assessment, they are 11 points behind by 10th grade. This bears out on the 2019 National Assessment for Educational Progress, in which boys in both fourth and eighth grades scored 9 points less on average than girls in reading. To help identify educational supports and strategies to improve reading performance for boys statewide, this bill establishes a task force on closing the achievement gap for boys. The task force is going to review best practices for closing the achievement gap for boys and make recommendations to the Department of Education, the legislature, and the governor on professional development for instructional personnel and school administrators, selecting curriculum materials and activities in learning programs and K through 12 schools, in early learning programs, sorry, and K through 12 schools, and effective academic, behavioral, and mental health supports to boys to help boys thrive academically and personally. The bill provides membership for the task force and requires it to meet no later than August 1st of 2021 and make recommendations no later than December 1st. The bill is going to requires the Department of Education to provide administrative support and other assistance to help the task force carry out its responsibilities. The bill provides that the task force may meet remotely to save costs for the department. And the task force is set to expire June 30th of 2022. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Koster, for that wonderful explanation. Members, are there questions of the bill sponsor? Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, Rep. Thanks for taking the time earlier today to answer some of my questions. And want to bring one of them back up to see if you were able to get clarity in regards to it, specifically around the type of public school that these parents or whomever are going to be appointed from. Is it a traditional public school or is it charter school? What does that look like?
You recognize.
Thank you, Chair. So yes, as we discussed on the phone and as was my suspicion, you know, charter schools are public schools and the bill references public schools. The intent is really not to limit the pool from which the folks making the appointments can select the task force members. You know, we recognize that each child is unique. Children are at schools for a variety of different reasons. A child might be at a charter school because they were struggling in public school. And that, you know, children at the charter schools come from a variety of backgrounds as well. And we don't want to limit the pool of potential appointees because we want as many diverse perspectives as possible.
Any follow-ups, Representative? Representative McCurdy for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, thank you for, I do like the bill. During the presentation from the Pinellas County group a few days ago, I raised the point about diversity, and you just mentioned that as well. When I was reading through the bill, I just wanted to know if it was too far-fetched maybe for us to consider as this moves. I see five of the board members are appointed by the Speaker and the Senate President. Would it be too much for us to ask, you can keep the majority, maybe three of those appointees come from the House Speaker, three from the Senate President, and is there a way that we could possibly have minority leadership appoint two individuals to the task force? If we're just gonna look to create a task force that looks at diversity, I believe we should look to have a more diverse board to appoint these members to that task force. So if that's just something that we can consider, that was the only thing that I wanted to raise to the committee.
Representative Koster, you recognize?
Sure, thank you for the question. And I, as I spoke with Rep. Nixon about, you know, diversity is important. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. And I think the purpose behind the various different categories of appointments and the various different, you know, parts of the government that the appointments are going to come from is to address diversity. And I'm certainly, you know, happy to consider that and talk more about that.
Thank you, Representative.
Representative Nixon, for another question.
Sorry, I'm going to go back to kind of what I was talking about a few minutes ago. Would you also possibly consider, I think, since oftentimes charter schools are birthed out of the fact that some feel traditional public schools are failing. I think that some of our appointments should come from possibly charter schools in addition to traditional public schools, because they do have such different experiences as it relates. You know, I have been a parent of a child that was in, like, Natalie's went to charter school, she's went to private school, and she's went to public school. But, you know, and each of those experiences were different and unique. And I think it would be really important for us, and I think we would, it would be good if we are able to have those different perspectives.
You recognize Representative Cox?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I think the idea and the intent is to have as many perspectives as possible. And I think that the idea and the intent is that the people making the appointments can consider all different criteria in selecting the specific person from their group of appointees. And, you know, I think we want to be careful limiting, because we might have important perspectives from two traditional public school parents, or somebody from a charter school might have a very unique and important perspective that we want to consider. And we, in limiting the appointments specifically to this number of appointments from charter versus in traditional public school, we might not be getting the best perspective that we want to make sure we're addressing the actual issue, which is the achievement gap for boys. So certainly the intent and the hope is that those appointments are made with the specific circumstances in mind that the parent that might be receiving the appointment has experienced with his or her child.
Members, any additional questions? Ranking Member Davis, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Rep. Koster. There's a piece in the bill, lines 44 through 47, state, and other academic, behavioral, and mental health supports to help educate and raise young men who are better prepared for success in school and in life. So that leads into my question with the task force. My colleagues have talked about diversity. I'm not going back down that road. But in terms of what would be the recommendations from that line, what would be the recommendations from this task force? Are they possibly coming up with ways to divert our young boys from the juvenile justice system? Are they coming up with ways to ensure there's equity in schools for our black children, our black boys? What are the recommendations, or the intent of the recommendations from the task force? And that may be really broad and hard for you to answer, but I'm just trying to figure out what are they recommending for us as far as this closing of the gap is concerned.
You recognize.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the question. And I think that we don't know what they're going to recommend yet. I mean, that's the intent behind forming the task force, is to find out what it is that they recommendations they're going to make, so that we can bridge this gap. And, you know, and I think that you brought up a really interesting point, that this is one piece of a very large puzzle, a very large puzzle in terms of gap with, you know, boys in, like you said, the juvenile justice system, or really, you know, the incarceration level, all of those things. This is one small piece to try to bridge that gap. And hopefully the intent behind the task force is to figure out how focusing on early education and the gap in early education for boys can close the gap with some of those other societal issues that boys face.
You recognize?
Thank you for that, Rob Koster. And this one is timeline. So I see where the task force will convene no later than August 1, 2020. And it will expire June 30th, 2022. I guess, and my question for that is, why the expiration?
You recognize.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that the reason is to get this task force moving quickly and try to address this as quickly as possible. You know, certainly if there's need to extend, you know, maybe that is something that can be taken up at a later date, but my understanding is we want to address this problem now.
Thank you.
Members, any further questions? Seeing none, there are no amendments. Is there public testimony? Dr. Nancy Lothar of the Florida PTA. Thank you, Dr. Lothar, for being here. And Debbie Mortham from Foundation for Florida's Future is waving in support. That concludes public testimony. Members, is there debate on the bill? Representative Nixon, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Again, I just want to lift up the fact that I think it's always important to have impacted individuals and a diverse array of voices on things like boards or commissions. You know, sometimes we see, especially in my field, right? So I work for the Public Services Union and the Florida Public Services Union, and we work with adjunct faculty, and a lot of the folks on those boards at those schools don't have educational backgrounds. They just come from business backgrounds. And so I think it's really important to have a diverse group of folks that are on these boards. And with that, I really want to push and urge that we really strongly consider allowing someone from a charter school as well as someone from a traditional public school, because again, those experiences are so unique, and I think that it's not limiting the pool. It's actually helping to uplift the needs that are in both areas, and so I just want to raise that up. Thank you.
Representative McCurdy, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a good bill and a good start. And I just would say, while task force are, the initial or at the infancy stage of really coming up with solutions, I ask that we as a body hold the task force accountable. When we do find out the recommendations, that we act on those recommendations, because while they are the task force and Dean with doing the research and collecting those findings and bringing them back to us, for us to, we are the action force here as the legislative body. So I will be in support of this bill. Thank you for bringing it up. And I hope that we, as a collective, take those recommendations, take those findings, and really put some action in it, because those are this demographic. Boys that live in my district, low socioeconomic areas, those are going to be the ones who will benefit from the work that we do here. So thank you again.
Thank you, Representative. Members, any further debate? Ranking Member Davis, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I was looking for a line that I had jotted down a little bit. And talking about the task force, I'll just continue. I read over it while I was listening to my colleagues talk about it. And I think anytime we do things from a school perspective, we need to have a child psychologist to be a part of this board. No matter where that person comes from, it needs to be a school child psychologist added to this task force. That's the first observation I've seen. The second observation is possibly someone from Department of Children and Families. When we're talking about our children, especially our boys, we need to be able to recognize when there's learning disabilities, when there's trauma, when there's other things that are going on. And being on this committee has been a great experience. And in that experience, I've had the opportunity to know when a child is going through trauma, there's no connection from Department of Children and Families, from the family, or to the school to know when trauma has happened in the home. So if we don't have a connection between Department of Children and Families, the police department that's handling this situation when the child is exposed to this trauma, and then the child gets to the school, there are a lot of things. Basically, what I'm saying is there are a number of things that happen before that child gets to the school. And so when we're putting task force together, I really want us to be able to understand the trauma that happens for children before they even get to school. And so we really need people on task force that understand those in-depth traumas. And unfortunately, I know from personal experience in Duval County, we don't have that. When a child experiences trauma at home, there is no connection from Department of Children and Families to the police department to when that child arrives to the school, unless the parent or a caseworker tells the school this child has experienced a trauma and what it is. And that's a lot of what we're dealing with some of the bills that are passing by with arresting the children. So there's an opportunity here to take a real in-depth look at how we deal with our boys in schools. And so I want to appreciate what you're doing here. I thank this committee for taking this step. And so working together, we'll get to those many layers that our boys go through, our African-American boys go through. So thank you for the opportunity to say those words, and thank you for this bill.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Beautifully said. Members, any further debate? All right, I will just say one quick thing, Representative Koster. Again, I continue to be so grateful to be on this committee with all of you, the thoughtful conversation that we have about every issue. I don't know if you felt the same way I did, but as somebody who's worked in this space for the majority of my professional life, the statistics that we saw last week were staggering to me. And Representative Koster, I just want to thank you for this very important first step in ensuring that we do have equity in how we're teaching our students, and that we are looking at gender differentiated teaching. And I think Representative McCurdy makes a very important point, is that, you know, this is a first step, and it's our responsibility to implement what this task force says is in the best interest of our students. So, again, I just thank you for your leadership in carrying this bill. And with that, you are recognized to close on the PCB.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members, for the great discussion. I will just point out, Ranking Member Davis, the bill does allow the Senate President to appoint a school psychologist that's employed by a school district. So that is there, and I certainly welcome the feedback on a DCF member, and am happy to look at that and discuss that further. As I mentioned earlier, this is just one piece of a larger puzzle, and I appreciate the ability for us to push this through and really do the important research to help our children. Every day in my professional life, I focus on the best interest of the children, and this feels like a great complement to my professional career, and I look forward to exploring this further. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Koster, having closed on her bill, Kirsten, please call the roll.
Representatives Cheney.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
Federhoff.
Yes.
Hawkins.
Yes.
Anshofsky.
Yes.
Koster.
Yes.
LaMarca.
Yes.
Learned.
Yes.
McCurdy.
Yes.
McFarland.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Trabulsi.
Yes.
Trunow.
Yes.
Williams. Yes. Chair Lupus.
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, PCB ELE 21-02 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Koster. So members, that concludes our agenda, but before we adjourn, all of the guests to the Capitol are, we love all of them. They're all special, but we have an extra special guest today. So I'd like to recognize Representative Nixon to make the introduction.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, colleagues. I have the unique honor of putting one of my favorite people in the world on the spot. And I would love for you all to join me in welcoming 13-year-old award-winning author, public speaker. I hope she fixes her shirt. Tuck it in. she travels the country promoting literacy, and I think in a time where roughly around 18% or so of Black children are only proficient in reading, I think it's a great way to honor this young author. But please welcome my daughter, Natalie Moxie, girl, McGriff.
Natalie, thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for having your mom be a part of this incredible committee, and I hope you'll sign my book after the committee. Would that be okay? Thank you so much. So members, again, a wonderful committee. Thank you so much. Representative Nixon, thank you for giving us all a copy of the book. I look forward to reading with my three daughters when I get home tonight. And with that, members, seeing no further business, Representative Koster moves, we rise.